you, and it's time for Tune Platoon. Hey,
Platoon, sound off.
Yes, sir.
Tune Platoon, the podcast, episode 1, the week of January 25th, 2009.
Yep, it started. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to what I hope would be the first episode of the Tune Platoon podcast. My name's Chris Niosi. I go by Kerberfer online. I'm an animation student at School of Visual Arts. I do lots of Flash movies and animation for Newgrounds.com and Fireball20XL. And I'm joined by two colleagues of mine. To my proverbial left is Mike Ruocco.
Michael J. Ruocco.
Should I introduce myself right now?
I'm also a second-year animator at SVA in New York City. I run the For the Birds blog on the interweb, and I like cartoons because I.
We don't really like cartoons. We're lying.
Oh, we're just a bunch of critics. We're a bunch of
stupid. Wonderful, awful, boo,
boo. Like films and fine arts.
And let me pass the torch on to the fine Mr. and Mrs.
and Mrs.
No, the great Mr. Christopher Zito.
Yes. Christopher John Xavier Zito. Yes, I'm Esquire.
I'm
fourth year cartoonist at the School of Visual Arts, and I also like to create all kinds of funny little shitbag gags. I am mostly a cartoonist. And also a voice actor on numerous amounts of cartoons on Newgrounds.com.
But regardless, yeah.
Regardless, I'm a fourth year cartoonist, and I'm getting out of here in a year, so, you know.
Or 4 months, whatever comes first.
Yes, 4 months.
Yeah, basically, I just figured, you know what, let's do our own podcast. Why the hell not? I mean, we're just as non-reputable or reputable as anybody else who makes their own podcast. Let's just do one.
You hit me over the head with a frying pan and dragged me here.
Well, yeah, I had to force Chris into this.
What are you guys doing in my room?
And we had to invade Mike's room.
It just came in with a microphone.
I just came in with a computer and just psh, done. I recorded something. Okay. We decided to just try this. And as a lot of podcasts, I think, are started, we just, you know, we have discussions about, you know, crap such as this all the time anyway. It's like, let's record them so other people can listen to us banter and get the wrong idea and think that we're totally full of ourselves.
Because apparently a lot of people like that.
And,
so I'll introduce what the meaning of this podcast is.
Yeah, essentially we're just going to talk about, you know, various animation thingamajigs, and I've got plenty of episode subjects planned out. But yeah, so that's us. As you can see, there's two Chris's, but I go by Curb by a lot of people, so this will be the Chris Curb and Mike show. It'll be
Mike comes first.
First episode, we're going to talk about essentially good main characters in animation, and this covers anything from cartoons, animated series from, you know, any country.
How about comic books?
You know what?
It's cartoons.
Comic books and cartoons go hand in hand. So while this is primarily going to be animation, you know, I'm sure we're going to be referencing plenty of comic things. Chris is our resident comic expert. I'm the anime guy, and Mike is the knowledgeable experts of all things.
You say that as if I know what's going on in DC and Marvel.
Here's the thing,
folks. We're into good comics. I mean, you like your thing. Everyone has their own tastes. You like your favorite is what? Mouse Guard.
Well, that's one of them.
Currently. That's one of them. I like Bone. And
we all like a lot of the same things.
I mean, like,
have a lot of things that specifically
and
that we
the
like,
reason so. Why we have this group of people in this room is because each of us have our own opinions and our own ideas of what is ideal or what is alright. Like, Chris has they're his own likes and dislikes. You have yours, and I have mine.
I try to like everything, because I'm just such a good little boy.
And you fail at it.
Yeah. but you know, that's essentially why I wanted to go with this trio. Also, because we're all here. We have other friends who are, you know, big into animation.
If they want to join in, ever.
Yeah, our friend Zach, Seizure Demon on DeviantArt and the like, he'll probably be jumping in.
And so maybe a few fellow animators from the SVA, yeah.
Essentially, I picked a few different. We tried to come up with a few different examples of what we think are good main characters for any piece of animation. I've got a couple offhand. For some reason, I couldn't think of a few aside from like some of the most recent ones that I've been into, and which is sad because I feel like main characters from older things would be better. And yet, for some reason, I can only think of new stuff, which is kind of ask backwards, but, you know, hopefully Mike and Chris can help me out, because, and I guess we'll, essentially, I guess we're just going to go back and forth on a few different ones and just see where the conversation takes us.
That's fine. So you start then.
Well, you know what? Two of the ones that I chose were Chowder and Flapjack.
As main characters.
Yeah, as main
show.
Characters. But I feel like, especially with Flapjack, because I've only seen maybe like six episodes or so.
Well,
that you guys would know.
We know a little bit. We've watched a majority. I mean, Chris, as I know, has watched the majority. He's a big fan.
I've seen all of season one and most of season two already.
Okay. So, actually, you know, Chris, in that case, do you want to start with Flapjack, maybe?
Do you consider Flapjack a good main character? I mean, because the thing is, the main thing about Flapjack is only it's focused mostly on Flapjack and Knuckles, with maybe Bubby as like a almost main, but just kind of supporting.
Well, if you look at it, it's kind of like saying, There is no other main character. I know you're gonna say like that story wise and like everything just to revolve around a character. If the character's in the title, I know I shouldn't say this because there's a lot of things that can blow out of proportion with what I'm saying.
Right.
Just not just because the character's name is in the title, but for the fact of the matter is that all the stories that have been on so far have mostly been about Flapjack learning something in a twisted way,
learning a moral or a lesson,
but in a really screwed up way.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't, well, you have no other choice in the matter. You have to say that Flapjack's a good main character because he's the only main character.
You follow him everywhere you go. I mean, the closest, I mean, sometimes Knuckles has his share.
He has his moments, but when you think about it, he's more a co-star.
It's
than
about
he has,
Flapjack
he,
being raised in Stormalong and
What I mean specifically is not within his own show. I mean, like, overall, as a character in general.
As a character?
No, because Flapjack is not a character.
Here's the thing. There are some main characters who, like in a lot of Disney movies, a character starts at one point, they go through some kind of journey or change, and then they end up at the end either learning something or develop. Flapjack, even though he learns a lesson at the end of an episode,
he becomes a retard
next
episode.
So, like, he starts off like, I'm gonna go eat soup! And then at the end, he's like,
adventure!
And that's the end.
I don't have my best friend here to do his Flapjack laugh.
But the thing is, even though he supposedly learns a lesson, like why we don't go west, or why you shouldn't do this, or why you should do that, he doesn't really come off as learning something. Like, he starts, I mean, like, I learned that this is okay. And at the end, they just start off with
and it's
one.
Pretty much, you're pretty much saying what every freaking kid learns about when they're age five.
And same thing with Chowder, too. I mean, Chowder...
Oh my god, how could you think Chowder is a good leadership material at the start?
I'll say so then. Okay, then I guess I am technically starting.
Well, this is an example of taking someone...
Okay, no, I'm not, that's actually fine then, because I thought that you guys would agree, but then that's perfect.
As a main character, is focusing... On the fact that, I mean, just say in Chowder, it doesn't focus on Hmong or Truffles Truffles.
Granted, they get one episode to them. But
yeah, they get like one or two episodes to a
character. But for the most part, even if you're going to have a character who's going to be main, you're pretty, like, the main part of I'm going by a movie standard where it's, you start at the beginning, you get to the climax, and then you grab down to the end.
Yeah.
And
you learn something.
You learn something, but that doesn't happen in Flapjack or Chowder. That does not happen. Even if it does...
In most cartoons...
In the next episode, they're going to be back to square one.
It's non-continuous. It doesn't leave off. There's no reference in back. Hey, remember the time when...
Well, that's because any Cartoon Network show, it's episodic.
It's mostly,
they can't make you have to know everything about every episode.
It's with movies and with series that have distinct stories. And games, too.
Oh yeah, video games will probably be bring up too. Why did I not remember that?
Well, video games do.
But this
I thought that'd be something too quick to go to at the start of it.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I'm just mentioning we'll probably make references to comics and video
course,
games
yeah.
in comparison. But the reason I like, I guess I'll tie Chowder into this too because I think he kind of falls into the same category. I like Flapjack and Chowder as main characters of their appropriate shows because I think that they're good examples of when you do like a happy character because a lot of different things, and again, you know, series, films, video games, and comics will have a character who's very serious, who's very, you know, and it's hard to find a balancing act between having them, you know, being upbeat and confident and just being completely
and being serious
and completely boring.
I mean,
as
the
hell.
Thing is with Flapjack, you can't really get serious with the character because the character's so loony.
No, yeah, he is incredible.
And Chowder and Flapjack are basically the same kind of character. They're both like naive.
Now that I think about what you guys just said, I think there's a middle ground between boring and upbeat.
When you say boring, you mean completely serious and down and underplayed?
They can be serious, but at the same time, they can be just as friggin' retarded and crazy as the other
well,
two.
Well, the thing about Flapjack is that he's just so optimistic, and when someone's so optimistic like that, there's no real development if they're so optimistic. They don't learn. I mean, he does, like, you know, get in pain, and he does feel sorrow. And
well, there are things where nothing ever changes. You don't get a story that continues onward, but somehow the appeal is so griping, you just can't get enough of it.
Right, exactly.
Sam and Max.
Well, we're
yeah. Sam and Max.
Oh, exactly. You know,
use
Sam
that
Max.
As an example. They're main characters.
Yes, they are main characters, but for the most part, Sam is calm, collective, and he gets stuff done in a serious fashion, whereas Sam is...
Max.
Good catch. Max is homicidal, crazy, and just does stuff for himself. Yet somehow they merge together and form one middle ground where it can strum off to be serious, but at the same time can strum off to be just as wacky as anything else.
Like,
so when you get a middle ground, you get something that anyone can relate to, even though it's just as nuts as anything else.
They can really get down and focus with a... I mean, in a way, they can focus and talk and develop.
They make a comic where they're in the Philippines, and Max says, and I quote, with no artistic reference. Like, everything in there, there's like a friggin' candy cane in the background, there's a gingerbread house to the side, there's an alligator floating in the sky, like,
and
where's the middle ground in that? But it's so awesome.
And they go from, like, you know, solving a mystery to, like, trying to get glazed MacGuffins.
Well, I mean, in the case of Flapjack and Chowder, at the same time, I mean, like, Flapjack has Knuckles, who I guess could be...
he works off Knuckles.
You know,
like,
I mean, and then Mung and Chowder kind of have that dynamic as well. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people I've noticed, not necessarily in these cartoons, but in other things, and even specifically with video games, too, when you have a character who's really like, yeah, I'm the kid, and I'm going to do this, and da-da-da-da, people get really annoyed by that. So it makes... creators and people who are in charge of creating characters and whatnot want to go with more, you know, stoic, serious, you know, badass type of characters. But sometimes they're just cool, quote unquote, and that's all there is to it.
Right.
But what I like about Chowder and Flapjack is they're both incredibly entertaining, they're very funny, they're very endearing, and I think what you guys mentioned before is that they're innocent and naive,
yeah.
But it's to the point where, you know, you're watching this cartoon, and they may not learn a lesson.
Yeah,
and it may completely defeat the purpose of this being a kid's cartoon.
Well, here's the fact of the matter is, when you think of something like Chowder or Flapjack or any, like, children's cartoon show, you're not focusing on character development or having a character learn
or not necessarily
or grow.
You're focusing on the
entertainment.
On a gag, make
people laugh, make people happy. And that's all they're meant to do. They're not meant to... say, wow, I learned something today, or wow, that's so enriching.
Closest thing that I ever saw something do that on Cartoon Network was probably like Samurai Jack, and that was it.
Yeah, well, Samurai Jack.
And I do not count Star Wars. I do not count that at all. You quoted as saying that Flapjack has Knuckles.
Right.
So the notion you gave me was that every main character needs a sidekick.
Not necessarily.
So the thing is about a sidekick is that besides supporting like comic relief. Just being there, they're like the ones who, like, Knuckles is basically the reason why Flapjack does what he does, and why Flapjack gets into a situation because Knuckles told him so, or Flapjack believes what Knuckles is right. So, in fact, in turn, everything that Flapjack does is in turn caused by Knuckles.
If anything, I'm basically what I was saying that before, I was more drawing a comparison between them to Sam and Max, where Sam and Max are definitely. I mean, just similar to how Flapjack is the title and Chowder the title, their two names is the title of their specific show.
Well, of course.
I think that they work a lot more like a dynamic duo because that's not to say even that, like, Flapjack and Knuckles don't get equal amounts of screen time, or Chowder and Monk Doll don't either.
And it's with any show. If any show, like, say, like, Hey Arnold or Angry Beavers or Rocko's Modern Life, right then and there, you know it's about Arnold, the Beavers, and Rocko. You know, it's about them. Like, compared to, like, someone like Flapjack or Chowder, someone who's, like, on the opposite end, since I know about, you know, Disney And,
well, that's fun.
And, I mean, the thing is, I want to just start off saying that, like, if you look at any of the early Disney films, you see a character like Snow White or anyone who's focused. I know, like, you know.
She didn't learn a
damn thing.
Snow White.
Here's the thing. The film is supposed, Snow White is supposed to be the main character, but you see people like the dwarfs. The dwarfs are basically the ones who carry the movie. People like Snow White, or like, if anyone's seen the Fleischer Gulliver's Travels, I mean, even though it's about Gulliver and it's about Snow White, they're basically footballs, and the side characters are carrying those characters along from point A to point B.
We're talking the Disney princesses, right?
Well, not Disney, like, I mean, with some of the Disney princesses, like, if you see Cinderella, I mean, Cinderella's a little bit more developed than, say, like, someone like Snow White.
Right.
So, I mean, and it gets better every movie they do.
Cinderella's life just sucked, and she
Cinderella's life sucked. She tried to do good. She worked, and in turn, and base, I mean, with the help of, like, the fairy godmother and, like, her mice friends, she gets to go on and become, you know, a queen or get married to the prince or whatever. But the thing is, like, some, with someone like...
After she disobeys her freaking
family. With someone like Snow White or the princess from Sleeping Beauty, they're just figureheads, and the... Whether it's the fairies in Snow and Sleeping Beauty or the dwarfs in Snow White, they basically take picking up Snow White like she's a football or like a some kind of like sports object and carries her from what to the goal. And but then you see someone nowadays, since now there's more, there seems to be more character development in this generation. You see someone like Mulan, or someone like, well, just say for Mulan for example, she's a
you can't think of anyone.
I can't think of anyone. I mean, yeah,
I know Mulan was
well,
the main one.
I mean, with Mulan, she starts off, she doesn't know who she wants to be, and she goes through the story, and she actually does something. It's not like, oh my god, there's the dragon, Mushu, and the cricket, and any gods or whatever are taking them and moving them to from point A to point B. Mulan's actually doing something, and she's actually getting herself to where she is, ends up at the end. She becomes up a fighting warrior, and she saves China. But she does that herself, and she actually, there's some development. She learns who she is.
Yeah, I think Mulan was kind of an improvement over how Ariel was. You know, Ariel was one of the, I think the first Disney princesses who really was like, I don't want to be just like the generic, you know, so-and-so girly girl prince. I don't think she wanted
to
be a princess.
It seems that all princesses in Disney films, they have this I want kind of thing. I want legs and to be on land. I want the right husband. I want to get whisked away and live happily ever after.
And if this was a German fairy tale, they'd all be dead.
They would all be dead and wearing iron shoes and dancing to their death.
Like friggin' Snow White. Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, let's walk through the woods. Okay, don't stray the path or talk to any strangers. Okay, Ma, I walk down the path. I see a wolf. Hi, Mr. Wolf. Guess what? My grandma lives down there. I'm going to go off the friggin' path, and I'm going to go pick some flowers. And what happens? She dies. No one comes to rescue her. She dies. You can't consider a person character if they're going to be faulty throughout the whole thing, that it actually screws them over in the end. A main character gets to the start, goes to the middle, and gets to the end.
And there's different definitions. A main character could be someone who's main, like the story focuses on, or it's a main character where they have some sort of development, they actually change, and the story focuses
on
them.
Yeah, she changes into crap at the end of
the
day.
She changes into wolf crap.
Yeah, that's why I mean, because Ariel, to the point where she screwed up, and it's like, sure, I'll trust you, mysterious, scary, creepy octopus woman, to give me what I want, and I'll be okay with this. And whereas Mulan was like, I'm not going to be retarded about this.
I'm actually going to do something about it.
And granted, she took a lot of risks, you know, with masquerading as a guy and whatnot. But she actually learned something. And she proved an entire country wrong too.
What about Belle? She's definitely a step up from someone like just.
Yeah,
like,
Belle was much like
Cinderella.
I know this is going to deviate a little bit, but the thing that really bothered me about Sleeping Beauty is that they complain throughout the whole... The fairies say, oh, our power cannot beat Maleficent. She's too big for us.
But you gave a dude a magic sword!
No,
what the hell?
No, so she tells this prince, this very bland prince, very white-bred prince, to go and do that. And then they say, oh, sword, you're the evil die and do stuff. So he throws this sword at the dragon like it's a freaking dartboard. And the dragon's dead. She doesn't even do anything. I mean, he does, like, fight her a little bit, but what a... It's such a cop-out.
He goes from white bread to toast and back to white bread again.
I've got a good one, because actually Chris just sprung this into my head a second ago, where a main character, is, well, like what your definition was a second ago, makes a lot of sense. And actually, I had one other anime one, which I'll bring up a little later, but one that I just... This is kind of a particular one. Now, Ash from Pokemon is... I don't fully consider Ash the main character of Pokemon. And even some of the people that work on the series have said Ash is more like somebody that the viewer is following and wishing that they could, you know, do exactly what he's doing. And also to the... But at the same time, they're so closely into what they're doing with it that... You know, whatever he does affects them. I mean, I still have memories of people freaking out about when he lets Butterfree go, or when he really lets Pikachu go. And leading into that, in fact, they even say this in one episode, well, Pikachu really is the star. And in a way, I think that Pikachu actually is more like the main character of Pokemon as a whole.
No, you see,
here's the thing, the show starts with Ash. And then he meets up with his friends, and it's focused basically on them as a whole.
Yeah.
With Ash being the center.
There is no real main character in that show, because there's no middle ground between the fact that Ash is the superego and Pikachu's the id. They don't have a center. Even if you put them together, there's no center to drive a main character.
Well, no, here's the thing. They say that they're friends, and they say that they're best friends, and they understand each other like whatever.
Yeah, but how good is it to understand each other where it's like, here's a good example. Pikachu, we're best friends. You Thundershock. Okay. It's like pretty much just going, oh, hey, this is my girlfriend. Oh, hey, guys, bitch, get me a soda. Okay. It's the same fucking thing.
Well, we understand each other.
Regardless of...
Yeah, we understand each other.
That's like old, like...
Holy
that's
shit!
Like
we got a bond!
It's like old 50s wife and mentality. Hey, wife, can you put slippers on my feet and make me dinner and sit in front of the
Pikachu!
Sofa?
Pikachu! Welcome to the post-apocalyptic world, baby.
Well, regardless of the dynamic between Ash and Pikachu, what I like about Pikachu, and granted, I think the show has been, you know, pulling back on this a lot lately since the last, like, 20,000 seasons.
Because it's a marketing show!
This is true. But regardless of that, the first season or so, I remember there'd be a lot of moments where, you know, Pikachu was just... And Pikachu's a character who can't even speak, technically, and he's just communicating mainly through, you know, a sound and what he's animated to do. I remember, what is it, there's an episode, one of the first episodes, where he's trying to explain to them the whole deal about the Moonstone, and he's doing it through pantomime, and he's doing this whole thing, and it's kind of cute. And Pikachu kind of gets the point across, and almost sometimes he seems like he's more intelligent than any of the three human characters in the main character group.
It's an animal.
And I don't know, he's
like, it's a golden rule in animation, the animal has to be smarter than the human.
Well, not necessarily, we have Snarf. And those type of, you know, like, little mascot characters. I would prefer it if they were sometimes more like that, where the little animal mascot
would
be
more
powerful.
No, because then again, if you did that, then people would lose their respectability and their likeness to the main character, to the human character, if you actually did that.
Sure. And that's not to say that in the case of Pokemon, you know, Ash, Misty, and Brock don't have their own, you know, endearing qualities to them, but
they do.
Well, to me they do, to the 10-year-old inside of me they do. No, but
the 10-year-old that's sitting here on
the
bed.
Yeah, the child in you is still sitting back watching Pokemon. The child in me just robbed the liquor stores, run away from the cops.
I'm sorry.
And I'm here just wondering what the hell's going on.
But, I don't know, I think just for what he is as an animated character, in the case of the show, and also I guess as a mascot for the franchise as a whole, I guess I kind of like what Pikachu represents, and plus it made a whole lot of money. But a little bit more of a clear-cut example. I guess I'm going to get to the other one that I wanted to bring up. Yeah. I grew up with Dragon Ball.
This
but,
is why I sit out of this conversation.
And I do love Dragon Ball and everything that it holds. And I respect the fact that it has plenty of flaws to it. Like, regardless of my enjoyment of it.
Flaws?
But,
God, that explains a whole lot.
But I really, really enjoy one. And in fact, I would go so far to say that it is my favorite current Japanese cartoon is I really do genuinely enjoy One Piece. And in a way, I can even say that One Piece kind of is like the improved version of Dragon Ball Z, where it has a very similar type of formula, very similar type of characters, being because Eiichiro Oda was a huge fan of Dragon Ball growing up as a kid before he became a comic artist and whatnot.
And the only difference between the show now and between One Piece and Dragon Ball is now like the time span between one episode to another is now cut from 5 episodes of screaming to 4.
And actually, technically, One Piece is past Z's episode count.
They're still gonna keep going.
But, well, yeah. But regardless of that, I really like Luffy. Luffy, kind of similar to what I was saying about Flapjack and Chowder, in the case that I think, regardless of what they did to the show over here, Luffy, similar with where, you know, Flapjack and Chowder are both very, you know, upbeat, kind of generally happy characters. We were talking earlier about how it's a balancing act between being serious and upbeat, and how Flapjack and Chowder more lean to the upbeat side because, you know, they're happy, they're loony, they're kooky, they're all a little loony, but, and they make lots of jokes and they're all pure entertainment. One Piece is, you know, it goes back and forth a lot.
No, they do the same thing, only the one thing is that Luffy knows the difference between being completely freaking stupid and, oh crap, it's time to get real now.
Exactly. And, you know, and a lot of people have said that Luffy is a lot more likable and a lot more a lot more relatable than Goku.
He's the prepubescent 8-year-old kid inside us all who wants to go out and do adventures, but at the same time, he's got the mentality of a 30-year-old when shit goes down.
Exactly, which, and that's, see, that's the thing, and also there's another character in the series called Usopp who is also very comedic, and he does a lot of, you know, kooky things, and he's animated very wildly as well. But both Luffy and Usopp, despite the fact they're very zany all the time, when the show takes a serious turn, which it very, very often does, they batter down and you can take them seriously. Maybe not necessarily because of the image that people have of them now from the Saturday morning blocks, but you know, the way that the characters are supposed to be, maybe a little bit more in the Japanese version of the show.
A main character needs... you know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. The whole thing is, I believe that a main character needs to... I know this may sound linear and something like that, but
that's fine.
I feel that a main character doesn't. It doesn't. They don't. They have to, but they don't have to like specifically follow it point to point to point because they can screw around with it as much as they want.
Right.
As long as they follow the start, the climax, and the end, and they have a well balanced id and super ego. As long as they got those, you have a very dynamic character, and people can relate to them. Because you want a middle ground, even though some characters may have more of something else, may have more of an id, and may have more of a super ego, but that's just another quirk to them. In the middle is the super ego, which is every normal, quote-unquote, person is supposed to think in psychological terms. But then again, normality may not be the thing that makes people relate to them, but as long as you have a character that can, on the fly, go from one side to the other... If that character goes from that one side, that's where the one person's going to relate to them. Because once they touch that one piece of the id or one piece of the superego, they're going to have their character, they're going to have their relation, and that's what's going to make the character so dynamic for them. So it's not really anything that we can say that can be a main character. It's pretty much just saying, wait, I can relate to that. Oh, fuck, this character's for me.
Well said, Mr. Zito.
I think that worked.
Like you, that was a good.
Do you have anything? Do you have anything
to add to that? I wouldn't be able to say anything different than what Chris said.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know, we've been talking about balance, and we mentioned earlier in the beginning that, you know, there's a fine line between the serious and the kooky characters and whatnot, and I think, you know, a number of different sides of that and the various middle grounds in between, any of those can work if they're executed correctly. And I will mention, because this is a good segue, the next episode that we're going to do, I'm assuming, will be what we perceive as good pieces of animation, shows, movies, etc., as a whole for different reasons. What I'm trying to get at with that point specifically is that if it all depends on how they're executed. Just like a show can have a great concept, a great idea for something. If it's executed poorly, it doesn't matter how good it is.
You mean in the
Captain Planet?
So let me say, what you're saying is you, if it's a good story, and if it's a good...
Well, in the context of characters, you know, the character can be completely retarded. The character can be a little fat purple cat bunny who likes to eat a lot and wants to become a chef.
It is obese.
If
Chowder.
I wish. But regardless, if the character is executed well, and like for instance with that joke I just pulled a second ago, I think that Chowder succeeds as a main character. If you know they're entertaining in the context of the show that they're in, if they work for the audience and they're relatable enough, then it works. It doesn't matter how ridiculous or how over the top or how weird it might be. you know, if they pull, if you got that connection, then you've got that connection.
Yeah.
So, and oh, actually, you know what? Just real quick, because we were kind of lightly touching on this when we mentioned the Disney princesses. Mike and I mentioned this before. I think for some reason, girls more often than not seem to have a bigger chance of succeeding as main characters, depending on what the type of show is. Like, we're not talking about Bratz or... But basically, we were talking about how girls have a bigger success rate of becoming, you know, good main characters and whatnot. Like, Bratz is a show that's made specifically for girls.
Mulan, or any Disney film, is focused on the family. It's got family values. Bratz don't develop. They're just...
They don't develop. They just add another fucking layer of clothing on themselves.
If you took Barbie and any, like... woman
transcendent.
No, well, like Paris Hilton. And you like combine that with like a Betty Boop like build.
Oh,
with
God.
A giant head.
We're talking about two completely different animals.
Alright,
so
let's get back to the fact the whole female protagonist.
Right.
I guess with guys don't really want. Women in the films, they seem to want something that's more. I mean, guys want like Hercules.
I want to be the hero.
I want to be a hero. I want to be manly. I want to save the girl. I want to get married.
I want to, and the girl is pretty much the, I want to be the par of the man.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be up par with the man. Okay.
No,
that doesn't get any better for you there when you want that f***ing goal. Because that's the main cliche for everything.
Anything before, like, Little Mermaid is focused on, I want to be the wife.
Well,
I
you know,
be,
actually...
I want to find Prince Charming.
I want to be the dude.
I want to be the dude.
I want to be the guy.
I would be the guy, too.
Have they ever done a Disney movie like that? A girl wants to be a boy? I mean, Mulan's going to be like that.
Besides that, but if you think about it, almost every other female protagonist in a really big role was pretty much, I want to be the guy. Yeah.
I want
to guys want to be the hero, and women want to be the guy. Before the woman can get to the hero, they have to be the guy.
To go into comics, actually, for 2 seconds, a friend of Chris and I's, who I haven't heard from in a while, Alan, I love you, a friend of ours, Alan, he's been working on comics for a few years for his life, and he's mentioned to me a while ago, he was talking about this, that sometimes it's easier to write for girl characters, you know? I mean, like, it depends on the case, definitely,
for someone like him, he's a guy, but is it... The fact that guys can write stories better about girls.
Fuck no, dude. Chicks are way more fucking artistic than
they are. I'm not saying we got, like, someone like your friend likes to write, it's easier to write stories for
girls. Well, he's mentioned that he finds it easier to write for girl characters than it is for guys. Like, they're a lot more dynamic.
Does it work vice versa? Do girls find it easier to write about guys?
I'm not sure, actually.
Well, we already know, since we're artists, we already know that guys can draw guys and have problems drawing girls,
and girls
can't draw guys.
Of course, this is not 100% true. Don't quote us on
this.
This
isn't like we're judging everybody. This is a lot of different.
But no, but a lot of people practice and they study it. Like.
Well, it's also kind of like where, you know, when whatever specific gender creates, you know, a story with a bunch of different characters, more often than not, they will usually be bigger in number depending on whatever the gender is. Like, I have plenty more guy characters that I've created throughout my life than I do girl characters. And for a lot of, you know, female artists that I know, most of their characters are females as opposed to male.
Since we're guys, we know what guys do and what guys are. A woman is a totally different thing. We don't know what a woman thinks, and we don't know what a woman delves
actually,
into.
You know what? Something I just learned recently...
except someone like Miyazaki, who seems to understand women really well.
Because he's everything. Because
he's the tree spirit.
You know, I guess we're still going on comics. This is actually suiting really well. The duo that I previously worked on and finished Death Note are doing a comic right now called Bakuman. Not Bakugan, that's something completely different. Bakuman, which is a story about two middle school kids that want to become comic artists. And they work on a bunch of different ideas for comics throughout the series.
I can't sense any breaking of the fourth wall in any of this situation.
Well, obviously. one of the points that they bring up,
Parcheesi with monsters?
No, they don't. One of the points that they bring up is they start talking about why don't we make a female main character for when they're talking about one of their many ideas for approaching Shonen Jump with a comic. One of the things that I think it was the artist or the, I don't remember if it was the artist or the writer character that brings it up, but when you make a girl your main character and it's a guy creating the girl character, very often that girl will be what they idealize as, like, the perfect girl for them.
Look at Heavy Metal Magazine, for God's sake.
Well, of course. If you, I mean, if you're coming up with a girl character, you would want to come up with a character that's what you think is the most...
appealing.
Appealing.
We'll make it, that's the easiest way we could say it.
Appealing. Because if we say attractive, we'll sound like we're sex maniacs.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, fuck that shit, because I know
design.
For a fact that some of the chicks I have, their tits are out to D's. Are you kidding me? I know this for a fact.
Well, we're not talking about specifically design, we're talking about their personality. You know,
Power Girl.
I don't know anything about Power Girl.
I know about
her, like, Justice League counterpart that's sort of based off.
Now, let's delve off into another direction. Now, what about groups of main characters? I mean, like I was just looking through a picture, and there's Ice Age.
Well, for Ice Age, for instance, I mean, yeah, there's a quartet of main characters.
They start apart. They all three of them basically hate each other.
Right.
Like, I mean...
One tries to kill them.
Diego, the Sabretooth, wants the baby, and he doesn't want anything else. Sid just wants protection from being eaten by other creatures like giant rhinos.
And Manny's just doing it for himself.
And Manny's just in there for himself, but because of the baby, which is like a freaking object. It's not even a real
character. All right, as much as I hate this, it comes right back to the ego, the superego, and the id.
No, you're right, there is a trio, but I think that Manny is kind of like more of what... would be considered like the main character above the.
Well, Sid doesn't change, and I mean Diego goes from hating or
goes from complete
or
bad to
Diego
has
become
a friend. But the fact that Manny starts off as a loner and wants to be alone, and
he was
realize,
just as much as a dick as anyone else.
You don't know why he's a dick for the first half of the movie, and then when you get to the point where you realize, oh shit, is.
But yeah, like I feel like the film focuses like the most on Manny. Just like how in Chowder, it like. You could say that Schnitzel, Chowder, Mung Dal, and Truffles all get a decent amount of attention, but Chowder is the one who gets the most, you know, center.
Because the point of the show is that he's supposed to learn how to be a chef, so it's about him learning
right.
to be a chef.
And then, you know, there's Flapjack, there's...
And then you see shows like... Then you see shows like episodes like where Schnitzel quits, and it's about Schnitzel.
Right.
What about Super Jail?
What about Super
Where can you guys tell me the main character in that situation?
I want to say it's the warden, but I guess that wouldn't be like
absolutely not.
There
is no main character. Every character is so psychologically fucked up, so messed up, and so fucking crazy that even though there may not be any sort of likable or some kind of relation to any of these characters, even though there could be in some way, in some form,
yeah.
The fact of the matter is that all these characters are so zany and so out there.
And they have equal screen time.
Yes,
that's not
even the case, because the twins almost get almost no screen time,
but
even they're amazing.
Well, they're not, there's no main characters, it's just a bunch of... It's not even, there's main characters, and usually there's main characters
and supporting
characters.
No, the main character is the place. The main character is Super Jail.
That's a good point, actually.
The fucking place, Super
Jail
itself. Yeah, exactly. Duh.
The
name of the place, and the name of the show is Super Jail. The whole thing is about Super Jail.
And what people, what happens in Super Jail.
Yeah, the characters are so, like, out of place, it's that they... Even though they work there, they have a mission and they have a point there, they're not really the show, because the whole show is about the jail itself.
Super Jail, it seems almost like where, you know, you have things like Monty Python and all that, which are just skits, but it's not specifically like one skit, one after
it
the
is,
other.
It is like Monty Python, because in a Monty Python skit, there's no such thing as a main...
Right, so it's like that in the respect where it's a bunch of different, you know, haphazard things, and you get entertained by it, but Super Jail is just, it's a consistent world with consistent characters that will pop up from now and then.
With no consistent stories.
Yeah, really.
And we just want to know that, by the sound of the language, this podcast is...
I'll be editing, don't worry about it.
Let's just do like our closing thoughts on the matter.
Okay.
I'm still gonna say what I said.
There's the ego, superego, and the ego.
Yes, it's the ego, superego, and an id. If you have something, if you have a place, an object, or whatever, as long as psychologically it touches somewhere, it's gonna appeal to someone, and someone's gonna think it appeals to them, making it a main character for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like anything.
In
the words of wisdom.
In the words of wisdom of the great Michael. I agree, for one, and if a character develops and learns something and goes through a change, I consider that a successful main character. Well, I mean, a main character basically just, like I said before, it doesn't mean that they, I guess it doesn't really mean that they develop, or just the fact that their name is in the title. It's just that the story focuses on them and you follow them, whatever they go through, whether it's a developing story or not.
Because it's kind of like saying in Family Guy.
It's called just being who's the most appealing.
It's not really who's the most appealing, as I think it's more the fact the focus of the show has to be set on one item or one character or one object. And here's a good example, like Mission Hill, where the character Andy French was the main maybe considered the main character because
the older brother.
Yes, the older brother. Because when you think about it,
it's focusing on him and how the fact that his brother
moved into his place.
Even though sometimes the story focuses on the little
brother. the focus may be on that, on the other characters, but
the overall show as a whole.
Yeah, the overall show is saying, okay, here's Andy, here's his life. His brother came in. Go from there.
Exactly. So that explains that.
So basically, animation is taking one person's story in a whole conglomerate world and making it visible to someone.
And sometimes they take detours and go with another character, but eventually they reach right back to the main character again.
And I guess just to play off what they've said again and to rehash what I was talking about earlier, I think it's just all regardless of what the idea is, if it's executed well, if the main character is is executed and written and worked well, then I think that then they succeed. So
audience says
audience says we've been sitting here for an hour.
Bam, 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 bam.
So yeah, hopefully this will be what I hope is
the beginning of
first episode.
The beginning of five.
The beginning of the beginning of one.
Sweet buttery Jesus.
We'll be like, oh, we'll get bored of each other now. All
right,
bored of you.
on the next exciting episode, we'll probably be talking about, as I said before, what we consider to be good new shows and new films of animation.
And
I like Kung Fu! I like Kung Fu so much!
And yeah, so we got a lot of ideas down the pipeline from ranging from just focusing on particular movies in general, focusing on just one movie, to just the idea of the business itself, to maybe we'll have like a thing where we talk about compare and contrast the movie.
Y'all,
that's a big compare, motherfucker.
She's a cookie.
I'm not a cookie.
Yeah, she's a cookie.
Anyway,
I'm a cookie.
All right, so should we leave off with some plugs?
Yes, you go off.
All right, I got a few plugs. One of our teachers is Howard Beckerman, who worked in for Terry Toons and back in the what seems to be the golden age of animation. And he and J.J. Settlemyer, who runs J.J. Settlemyer Studio Productions, are doing a show up in White Plains, if you haven't heard of it already. It's called It All Started Here. It focuses on New York animation and the history of it. They got a lot of really, really great things to show. They got, like, complete storyboards. They have a whole section on Blue Sky. And Chris has something to say.
By the time this goes up, it's probably going to be over.
Are you sure about that?
Probably, yeah, unfortunately.
It's January 20th. This thing's going to be up after February?
No. Oh, wait. Well, what is it then?
The show... I'm going to get to that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The show started about a week ago, last Saturday, and it's going until February 28th, and having a bunch of shows.
Oh, okay. I'm
and,
part of that.
And,
I
well, here's the thing. Chris and I both went to the show. We went to the reception party, and it was a really great exhibit, and they had...
got VIP tickets.
You got VIP. Well, it was a really good show. There's a lot to learn. They have a lot of great examples. They have cell setups. They got maquettes. They have a whole Blue Sky section. They have maquettes and pictures of the...
maquettes twice? I'm sold.
it is impressive. So if you're in the New York area and you're able to go to it...
really go to it. Another one is...
Oh, wait. What's the website? Like in the working...
Oh, the website. If you go to my website, I'll plug my website at the end. It's at the Art Center. It's located up in White Plains, New York. So if you really want it, it's at the the Arts Westchester Center in White Plains. And you can find it online. They have a Facebook page, and the exhibit hall where it's located is at 31 Mamaroneck Avenue. in White Plains.
It's called it all started here.
It all started here, and it's run by J.J. Settlemyer and Howard Beckerman. It's a really
celebration to the fact that New York is the place where animation goes.
Yeah, animation started really here in New York, not in L.A., where one thinks it started.
And it ended here.
Or it might have started, it probably started in Europe, but then we kind of took
and
it.
At your mom's house.
I swear to God. So you'll find it on my blog, and I'll plug that again. There'll probably be a link to it on the wherever this.
Why don't you go ahead and plug it now?
Okay, my blog is www.forthebirdsblog.blogspot.com. And there's a lot of great links. I post at least maybe twice a week. I try to. And you'll find a lot of information. There's a lot of pictures of the exhibit on the site. Not everything, because I don't want to spoil it. But that. And one of the greats, Hans Perk, is doing, he posts a lot of times complete animator's drafts of Disney films. And he just started. Probably by the time this is up, it'll probably be almost done with it. He's been posting complete animator's drafts of Disney films. He did Pinocchio, and he did Alice in Wonderland, and 101 Dalmatians, Sleeping Beauty, and now he's doing Sword in the Stone, so I advise. So if you go to his site, it's afilmla.blogspot.com. He has the complete storyboard drafts for Sword in the Stone.
Afilmla.blogspot.com.
And
is that it?
I think that's it for me.
Okay, cool. Christopher, sir, your
plugs. Plug your website. And we all have DVA accounts.
Mostly all my stuff's updated on my DA account, so you may as well just go there. And if, God forbid, you actually do find my site, it's going to be on there. It's, my DA is tidus-backlash.deviantart.com. I know it's a stupid name, but the stories I can tell you about why that name came to be, but I know it's going to be completely boring. So yeah, it's TidusBacklash@deviantart.com.
And
so
that's just for another episode.
Just for the hell of it, I'm going to throw mine out. Mine's easy. Fantasia Man, because it's my favorite movie, and we'll discuss that in the next episode.
FantasiaMan.deviantart.com.
What about you want to promote?
I'm on Newgrounds.
And Newgrounds.
Oh yeah, actually we're all on Newgrounds too.
Yeah, true.
And we all took part in whatever.
But that thing.
That thing that's getting like a million.
That thing. You can find my stuff. I'm generally either Kerberfer or Kerberfer 15 on all the sites I go on. DeviantArt, I'm Kerberfer 15, KIRBOPHER 15.deviantart.com. And Newgrounds, I'm just Kerberfer, KIRBOPHER. newgrounds.com. And also, if you feel like you can go to my site, but you can just see it on Newgrounds as well, because all my stuff is there. But my regular site is tta.fireball20xl.com. That's tta.fireball20xl.com. Yeah!
I would strangle you.
Yeah, I bet you would, but that made Sai very happy. Anyway, I love you, Sai. If you're listening.
So, we'll have all those.
Yeah, we'll have show notes. It'll be fun.
Show nuts?
Show nuts.
Show Nuts.
That's the new series I'm working on, Show Nuts.
Show Nuts. It's going to be a video podcast.
And be wary, kids, because I'm going to be working on my new comic, Smog the Woodland Hit Bear.
And,
I swear to God, that's really a project I'm working on.
Mike and I are both working on student film projects, which I'm sure will probably hit Newgrounds at some point.
Well, not mine.
Yes, it will. I'll make you.
I will swear.
And I'm continuing to work on the Go-Go Parody Rangers feature movie right now. I'm currently working on
Super
part
Nintendo.
Two. So we're all keeping very busy.
Right, so
last thing I should mention, because I feel like
We should plug the school, too, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, School of Visual Arts in New York City. It's a good school.
Go to School of Visual Arts. Give them lots of money that you don't have.
There's a 90% chance rate you're going to get a job when you graduate out of here if you really like art there.
Essentially. I should mention, because I got to give Mike some credits for this, Toon Platoon is also the name of a blog that kind of, I guess, debunks.
No, let me tell you what happened. I had a blog. I have three blogs. One is my normal blog. Another one is one where no one's posted any ducks yet, called Duck,
except
and people are supposed to post ducks on it, and no one has posted ducks. Don't look at me like that.
I'm going to look at you all I want, because when you have workload as much as I do, screw off.
Oh, true. All right. So I had this site called Toon Platoon. The original name came from, they were going to do a Roger Rabbit sequel called Toon Platoon, and I thought, hey, since they're not doing the movie, I'll just take the name and use it for myself. So I used a name, I made a site where people would post art every week, and it's been literally on hiatus for about, it feels like maybe
almost
eight months, almost a year.
So if hopefully
because everyone's busy with school and they don't have time to post, and everyone's not, everyone on the site wasn't really artists, so I'm thinking, hey, I'll discontinue that site. So that's a warning to everyone.
Oh, and I just figured since it wasn't being used, it's just called the name of the podcast.
It's a good name. I thought it was a good name.
Yeah, so hopefully...
Because the animation podcast is already taken. Oh, and check out the animation podcast. Click here.
Yes, go on.
You'll find the link on my site.
That's good stuff. So, yeah, hopefully if this goes up, hope you guys enjoyed it. And this is Grabberfer saying goodbye.
This is Chris. I'm off to kill Curb.
And this is Michael, who is going to tell these two, get the hell out of my room. You know it's 11:30 at night and people are trying to sleep.
You said nobody cared, so that's why we did this.
Yeah, when it was 9 o'clock at night, now it's 11:30.
And we're done.